Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And we have a big show in store tonight, talking some NBA playoff recap, some draft recap, and ready to get started. It's been a fun week here as round two of the NBA playoffs get going.
Yeah, been pretty crazy. The draft was fun. I've actually had a kind of a crazy last few days, out just in like the real world, but that's a whole other thing. But yeah, no, this is exciting.
Yeah, most definitely. So, I guess, do you want to just go ahead and talk a little NFL draft recap here before we get going, and then we'll get into the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I got a lot of draft stuff to talk about, so I'm ready to go.
All right, well, go ahead.
Okay, well, obviously, we picked our draft, our little mock draft in the first round. That didn't go so hot. Outside of the first two picks, which were basically locks, we only got two more picks right, at least two as far as teams. I got Shaq Lawson to Buffalo at 19 overall, and you got Will Fuller to Houston, even though they traded up one spot to get him. That I guess that was their guy. But so that was kind of cool. We were terrible at that, but we actually did pick 20 of the 32 first rounders correctly, so that was another thing that was kind of neat. But I guess we got to kind of talk about Laremy Tunsil, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unavoidable at this point, I would assume. Pretty crazy what happened. I actually got the notification like, I don't know, 10 minutes before the draft started, and I thought it was kind of a joke. I didn't know. I didn't open it because I didn't know what kind of video it was. And yeah, pretty crazy. He fell about, what did we have him at? 8. So fell about 5 spots from what we had him going, and 6 spots on a lot of boards. The Ravens said that they were going to take him until that video came out. So he kind of
right,
hurt himself.
Yeah, no, I was seeing things about it. I'm coming across Twitter, and I wasn't really sure. I didn't know if people were being serious about it or not. And then I actually saw the video, and I'm like, oh well, that's definitely not a good thing to have come out 10 minutes before you're about to be picked by a team. Which yeah, it's really weird. The whole circumstances are strange. Obviously, people wanted to, oh, well, it has to be his stepfather that he had that issue with a while back. But now it turns out to be some scorned former financial advisor. I mean, it's definitely concerning. I don't necessarily blame teams like the Ravens or even the Titans passing on him after all this stuff's happening, because obviously the man's got some drama in his life that he should probably try to figure out a way to straighten out, because it really is unfortunate though. I mean, yeah, it's not exactly his fault, but he's learned his lesson and straightened things out and is able to do things have a good career now with the Dolphins, but which is another crazy thing. It's good that he didn't fall farther than he did, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that if he keeps his head on straight and is able to get rid of some of the people that are reportedly not good in his life, I think he's going to have a long career, possibly a Hall of Fame career. So it'll be interesting to see. But I know that he was the one who got it. Like, he's the one who got attacked. He didn't leak the video. One of the first players I actually believe that said they got hacked, and I believe he actually got hacked. But he probably shouldn't have had that video on his phone to begin with. So just delete that stuff. Don't record stuff like that. And
right.
None of this would have happened. So, yeah. And there's also the exchange of money from college. Doesn't really hurt.
Yeah, those screenshots.
Ole Miss
Right, which, I mean, yeah, of course it's not really going to affect him down the road, but, yeah, this could have big repercussions for Ole Miss. I mean, obviously they kind of had their big recruiting class a few years ago or the last couple of years, and they've kind of revived that program. But, definitely isn't a good look for them with those screenshots, those text messages. That happened in what, just the first hour and a half of of the first round, man.
Yeah, crazy, just absolutely crazy. First time anything's ever happened like that I can remember. So, yeah, pretty interesting. And goes to show, just as the younger generation comes up, like, and social media is more in their life, things like this might happen more often than not. I mean, we have the D'Angelo Russell thing, recording video of his teammates, so
right.
I don't know. I think it's going to be fun to watch, or not fun to watch, but just kind of it's not fun to watch at all, no.
Obviously.
But I think it'll be interesting to see if this this happens, keeps happening in the different sports. So
yeah, no, it's definitely going to be a precautionary tale and remembered. I think. All right, well, let's kind of just move to more like actual other things that were more football related. How does Jalen Ramsey fall to 5 is my first question.
I don't know, but I love the Jaguars draft.
Honestly, yeah. That's those first two picks, you may have the best two players in the draft, and you got them in the first, and the second one you got in the second round.
Yeah, you never had to trade anyone, so.
Well, they moved up the two spots to get Jack, but I mean, at that point, it's worth it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. But I think that the Cowboys made a horrible pick. To be honest, they could have got a running back later in the draft if they really wanted one. They could have got a Derrick Henry, someone like that, and they took Ezekiel Elliott with the 4th overall pick when they have quite a few running backs. They signed Alfred Morris. They have Darren McFadden in the backfield. Guys that could get it done behind that offensive line. Not really sure who's going to be rushing the passer. Randy Gregory is suspended the first 4 games. Greg Hardy's not coming back. And beyond that, I'm not really sure who's going to be coming after him. They still need help in the secondary. So I don't like that. I like Ezekiel Elliott, but I don't like that the Cowboys took him. I think they went for the flashy pick, and not a good move in my opinion. So I think that's why Jalen Ramsey fell. I felt that the Cowboys, whichever one was there, they needed to take Ramsey or Bosa, and they didn't. So
yeah, right. And I can understand taking Ezekiel Elliott if Bosa's off the board and Ramsey's off the board. But no, yeah, you're sitting there. You have to take have to take Ramsey there. And did you see the report of what they said about the decision came down to they can give Ezekiel Elliott the ball 30 times a game, and if teams want to avoid Jalen Ramsey, they could just throw away from him. And that was their rationale in picking him.
All right, that doesn't make any sense to me. But
exactly. Jalen Ramsey can take away half of the field if, you know, if we're projecting him to be this corner that can can be this guy.
Yeah,
and he'll take away half the field on our defense. But nope, we can give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott 20, 30 times a game. So that's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, if you've got this great offensive line and you can get a what's left of Darren McFadden to do what he did behind that line last year, then you can draft a guy in the later rounds. There's some decent backs. Like you said, you can get like a Derrick Henry to you could definitely take Derrick Henry to kind of bruise behind that line, but you take a smaller, shiftier guy like a Paul Perkins and see what he can do. I don't know. To me, their defense needed it a lot more than their offense, especially
at
number
four. They also signed Alfred Morris. So if you bring another running back in there, you have three running backs that one of them is probably going to get it done behind that offensive line at least. So, yeah.
By all means, split carries, running back by committee. Those are all decent running backs. And, yeah, you know, you can't rely on somebody like Darren McFadden to be healthy, but throw three guys out there and just give it to the hot hand.
Yeah, I actually was thinking if they didn't take Ramsey there, maybe they should have took DeForest Buckner if they wanted a pass rusher. But, I'm okay with the pick. Go Cowboys. So, let's see. What was the pick in there that you really liked that a team went after here?
What do you mean?
Like, who do you think got a player that is going to be really good, and do you think that just made a good pick in the first round?
Just in the first?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I mean, it's hard, like you said, it's hard to not like what the Jags did. That's tough. I think I'm going to go Browns. I like what the Browns did. I mean, it's maybe not so much just in the first round, but what they did overall. I mean, obviously they have some sort of a plan accumulating all these picks, trying to get as many picks as possible. I'm assuming to just try and hit on as many players as possible. But, you get Corey Coleman, is probably has the potential to be the best all-around receiver in the draft. I mean, he can be a burner, a big play threat. He seems like he can do it all. You traded back a couple times and still got him. I think that they got a lot of value there. And to kick off what really could be a really good draft class, I feel like they got a lot of pieces on defense in the later rounds that could contribute. And they got a bunch of receivers, so that they definitely have a plan. I don't know if Cody Kessler should be part of that plan, but that's another issue.
Yeah, not going to really take into account Browns drafting quarterbacks, but I definitely like what they did overall. I thought they had a solid draft. I think they took four receivers overall through the whole draft, so definitely looking for a guy that they can rely on the outside.
Yeah.
It seems like it's been forever since they've had a go-to receiver. I mean, they kind of have Braylon Edwards, but he had his drop problems, and So, yeah, it's been a while for them having it. And, of course, Josh Gordon, really.
And another first-round pick I guess I have to like, it's got to be Shaq Lawson to Buffalo because I called it, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was going to say mine were Vernon Hargraves to the Buccaneers and Will Fuller to the Texans. I think Fuller can add a lot to the Texans, just being alongside DeAndre Hopkins. He can hold on to the ball. I definitely think he can make that Texans offense a little bit better and give Hopkins some more alleviate some more pressure on him. So I definitely like that pick. And then I like the Vernon Hargraves pick to the Buccaneers a lot. The Buccaneers, I think, have a solid offense. They have a solid offensive line. It could be a little better, but it's solid enough right now. And they got some really good receivers, and definitely think that they need to some work on the defense. And Vernon Hargraves should be the guy that can put up his own on the outside. I've liked him throughout the process. So his size is the one thing that concerns me, but I think he's definitely going to turn into a Brandon Flowers type player. So I know we've mentioned that.
Yeah,
before.
No, I think he definitely fits in well in Tampa Bay's defense. But I actually have to disagree with you on the Will Fuller pick. I actually don't like that. Not necessarily so much. I understand they want a guy who can stretch the field to go along with DeAndre Hopkins. And I can appreciate that, but I think that they traded up the one spot with Washington and then picked him, and then Washington took the better receiver with the next pick in Josh Doctson. I can understand the allure of the burner that Will Fuller clearly can be, but I think Josh Doctson can be the overall better receiver, and why not have two really, really good receivers instead of a really, really good receiver and a guy who is, you know, I mean, could be a legitimate deep threat, but for the most part, just a deep threat.
No, I agree with you. Josh Doctson was my favorite receiver in the draft. Him and Tyler Boyd. I like Tyler Boyd a lot. I know he went later in the draft, but I think he has the potential to be one of the better receivers in this class. And I also have to go with that because they took Braxton Miller later, who can be that burner and that weapon that they need. So they could have had Doctson and Hopkins to Miller, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, and no, and to be honest, I don't necessarily hate the Braxton Miller pick. I think it's just another thing another guy they can throw out there to eventually maybe become that slot guy. But, you want to get surround Brock Osweiler's weapons, but their draft as a whole, I wasn't too crazy about.
Who do you think is going to be the biggest sleeper in this draft?
The biggest sleeper? I don't know how big of a sleeper he's going to be, but a guy that was overrated, or not maybe not overrated, but a guy that people expected to go a lot higher in the draft was Andrew Billings from Baylor. I know he kind of projects to just be a straight-up nose tackle, but I guess there wasn't as much of a demand as it was assumed because people thought he was going to go a lot higher than he did, and he ended up falling all the way to the fourth. But I do like where he went. He went to the Bengals, and they tend to be able to make the most out of guys like that who kind of seem to fall through the cracks a little bit or you have issues that bring them to the Bengals. So I think that could work out really well for him, just the position that he fell into. They've always got a solid defense, and there's a lot of guys on the defensive line that kind of not necessarily come out of nowhere, but go a little under the radar and getting to be really good players in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I actually like that pick a lot. I was actually really surprised how far he fell.
Yeah.
Especially we had him going in the first round, and he didn't end up going to the fourth. So pretty surprising
right.
to me.
Yeah, who do you like as a sleeper?
I actually like Kendall Fuller, the cornerback from Virginia Tech. I've liked all the Fullers that have come out. They've all been really good corners in the NFL. I thought that he would be a pretty big pickup for whoever got him in the middle rounds. He ended up going to the Redskins, and I think that he's going to have a really good career. His brother Kyle Fuller plays for the Bears, played really well. First season kind of had a slump this last season, but yeah, I definitely like the Fullers out of Virginia Tech. I think they play very solid football on the outside. So that's one
yeah.
of the things that I look forward to seeing.
Right. I actually really like what Washington did there with their first four picks. I think they got four potential starters with Doxson. They also got Stuart Cravens from USC. And like you said, Kendall Fuller. So, yeah, no, they definitely made the most of what they had, I feel like. But, yeah,
Robert Kimbichi is going to be very good on a Cardinals defense that was already really good. So I think he's going to add a lot.
Right. I guess another guy I could throw out there I just really like just from watching him at Mizzou, but I think Kentrell Brothers is going to be a really good football player in the NFL. He already is a really good football player, but I think, yeah, he kind of got shortchanged a little bit with some poor measurables. And he's not, you know, ideal size, but he definitely knows what he's doing out on the field and he doesn't play slow. I think Minnesota is going to be happy with that pick. And then a little mini hot take for you. I think that Mike Thomas from Southern Mississippi is going to be a better receiver than Michael Thomas from Ohio State when it's all said and done.
All right. Hot take already. So,
yeah.
I think Eric Stryker to the Bills is going to be a huge pickup. I know he didn't get drafted, but kind of same lines as Kentrell Brothers, not really size, ran a 4.8, but he's fast when he plays. He raises eyebrows when he plays. I watched him torment the Texas Longhorns for 4 years. So I definitely like Eric Stryker, and I think he went to a good team fit for him with Rex Ryan and the Bills. So, yeah, like that pick.
And then I guess one more just because I guess I should mention a Chiefs pick. Chris Jones, I don't know how much of a sleeper the 37th overall pick would be. And Chris Jones was, you know, considered first-round talent. But as far as he fell, he could definitely open some eyes if he can work with his issues, which appear mostly to just be effort. Not always given 100% effort, but when he's on, he's on, and he's a monster and throws people around, and it's insane. And so that could be something to watch. Could definitely be a steal for them.
All right. I'll have to keep an eye on that. Speaking of your Chiefs, there's been a lot of kind of some talk about one of their picks, Tyreek Hill, I believe is his name, receiver.
Right.
Had domestic abuse. What do you think about that? And do you think the Chiefs should have drafted him?
I've been thinking about this a lot. Obviously, one interesting thing is it seems to be a lot bigger deal here in Kansas City than anywhere else. I mean, as far as nationally and people talking about the Chiefs picks in general, they if they do mention it, they kind of gloss over it and just say has, you know, some sort of off-field issue or trouble or something. And that's, I mean, obviously that's ridiculous. It's nothing. It's a very serious issue. It's very terrible what he did. He admitted to it and pled guilty. But I also think that's kind of part of why I can understand giving him the chance to play. From what I've gathered in the last couple days, he was very remorseful after the whole issue, and a part of his probate or part of his sentencing that came to be was he helped himself out a lot by being very open to getting treatment and seeking help and owning up to everything. And so it seems like he's taking the steps forward to moving on and just being a better person. I mean, there's obviously no excuse for what he did, and you can't do anything to change it. But yeah, a lot of people are upset, and it probably isn't worth the headache, but the Chiefs apparently think it is, and all this. I mean, they're probably betting that it's all kind of blown over and forgotten about it by the time the season starts, but it doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. I definitely agree with you, but yeah, I think once OTAs and stuff roll around, I think it's going to come up again, and we'll just have to see how it's handled. And yeah, so I definitely think it's going to be brought up, maybe follow him throughout his career, but all he can do is try and go forward and be a better person, like you said. So.
Yeah, and I mean, we still don't know all the details. The Chiefs apparently either can't or just won't share, you know, the everything that they've done I guess vetting him to make sure that they were okay and comfortable with making the decision of drafting him. But yeah, it's just hard to say. It's such a touchy issue, and especially when you've got them preaching, bringing in high character guys, and I don't know. you just hope that I guess everything, it all works out, that he truly is reformed and making the steps to be a better person.
Yeah, no doubt. So, a little off that subject now. One of my favorite picks for the Chiefs, by the way, was I can't say his name. KB Russell. I'm just gonna say that.
Kavari.
Yes, I know he got hurt, but I like that pick for the Chiefs a lot on the corner. I think they need some help after losing Sean Smith, so definitely like that pick. And,
yeah, they definitely threw a bunch of guys. They're gonna throw a bunch of guys at corner. They also got Eric Murray out of Minnesota, who will probably contribute a little bit, at least at some point, at very least depth and special teams. But yeah, no. I thought they had a really good draft. And I mean, looking at it purely from a football standpoint, yeah, there's a lot of boom or bust in there. But and even Tyreek Hill, I mean, the way the scouts talk about him, he could be amazing as a return man. But of course. Yeah, but there's a lot of potential in there. So, how'd you like the Eagles draft?
I thought it was up and down. I mean, really, it's just going to depend on Carson Wentz. That's going to determine how well this draft was. They gave up pretty much a lot. I mean, they did get some picks here back, but they gave up a lot for Wentz, and so we'll just have to see how that's going. Going forward, they go into quarterback of the future that they're hoping. So I have to see what goes on with Sam Bradford, but it's going to all depend on Carson Wentz. Not really too many guys that stood out to me, but I really like the Jalen Mills pick in the seventh round. I think that he got hurt and fell a long ways, but he was regarded at one time to be one of the best corners in the country. So I like that pick, and yeah, I definitely think that the Eagles need work at defensive back, so hopefully he can come in and help the team out. So other than that,
yeah,
I'd give him about a C-plus overall. But if Wentz is good, that grade could go way up. But if he's bad, that grade could go way down. So it's really going to depend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's always, yeah, going to be on him. All right. Anything you didn't necessarily like from anybody?
Well, besides
like,
Cowboys,
I personally don't understand Eli Apple going number 10 overall.
Yeah, I think that pick was based all on potential.
Right.
He's a big long corner. The Giants like big long corners, but I think it was a little bit of a reach. They could probably trade it down and got him a little later. But
yeah,
they got the guy that won.
The thing that gets me is he seems like he's allergic to contact.
Yeah, yeah. But I said the same thing about Courtney Roby, and Roby's turned into a pretty good player. So we'll have to see. Both
yeah.
from Ohio State, of course. So.
That's fair, yeah. Bucks traded up for
yeah,
a kicker. That was cool.
Yeah, third round, right?
Second round. They traded with the Chiefs.
That was the second round. That's right,
yeah.
That's right. I think it was a good pick, though. I think he's a really good kicker.
Inside of 40.
That's true. Yeah, he doesn't have much of a leg, but he's going to hit them extra points.
I mean, okay, that's fair. I can understand that. But, I don't know. Second round is way too high for me for a kicker. The highest I'd probably pick a kicker is with a compensatory third.
Compensatory. All right.
And it has to be a damn good kicker.
Yeah, not bad. I really didn't like the 49ers draft. Traded up for a guy out of Stanford who I didn't really even consider as first or second round pick. Still don't know too much about him. They actually traded with the Chiefs, didn't they, for that pick?
Yep. Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can understand going to get your guy if that's your guy, if they, you know, felt like he was the best guard in the class or whatever. I don't know about trading back into the first round for him. You could probably get him in the second.
And I also don't understand the Will Redmond pick, which was their next pick, cornerback. When Russell and a couple other corners that I liked a little more, Kendall Fuller, were still on the board. I thought that was kind of a reach for the Niners. So, yeah, I didn't really like their draft overall, but I'm used to those kinds of
things. I don't like how many quarterbacks went and who those quarterbacks were. Christian Hackenberg in the second round, Cody Kessler in the third.
Paxton Lynch in the third.
Yeah, Paxton Lynch in the first. All right, yeah, that's we could go on forever. We should probably talk some NBA before we – get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it. So, all right. Draft recap. So, it's been
we're
in round two of the playoffs here. East is pretty much going like we expected with the Cavs. I actually broke NBA record tonight with 25 threes, if you didn't catch that in the game. Absolutely dominated Atlanta. Same way that the Spurs dominated the Thunder in their first game. Actually, Thunder were down 43 at one time, ended up losing by 32. But then they came back and beat the Spurs in just a crazy finish, 13.5 seconds. It's pretty much all I wanted to talk to you about with the NBA playoffs, those 13.5 seconds. I don't know if you caught it. I'm sure you have. It's been a talk most of the day. I was actually out with some friends celebrating the finish of a show, but I caught the last 13.5 seconds. Didn't really notice too much of the stuff, what was going on, but then I came home, rewatched some highlights and stuff, and I counted about 10 different violations or so that happened in that 13.5 seconds. Did you see that? What happened there?
Yeah, I ended up watching the play a few times. The NBA, of course, actually admitted to five missed calls in that in that hole from the well before the inbound, actually, of course, because two violations happened before the inbound, before the ball even got in onto the court. But yeah, no, they admitted to Manu Ginobili stepping over the line.
Russell,
so that would have been, I guess, delay of game or whatever. And then Deion Waiters, they almost throwing a punch to get Manu Ginobili away from him.
No. Actually, Manu Ginobili stepping on the line there, they changed the rule under 2 minutes. That would have been a technical. It would have been Thunder free throws and the ball back. Yeah.
Wow. See, and that's the crazy thing. So if they call that, none of it happens. But yeah, but then you get, Deion pushing off, I guess, if we're going to be nice about it, and then getting the ball into Durant, who promptly loses it. And then, yeah, and then it got ridiculous.
The beginning, before Deion elbowed Manu, Kawhi was holding Westbrook's jersey as well. Deion Waiters, I don't think, is allowed to jump on an inbounds pass. He jumped, throw the ball in. You could argue that Danny Green fouled Kevin Durant. Danny Green threw a horrible pass to Patty Mills.
Yep.
But I think the biggest crisis in that whole thing was future Hall of Famer Manu Ginobili passing it to Patty Mills, who was shooting 30% in the playoffs. He was 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter, shot 2 of 9 from the field in the game for the potential game-winning field goal. When Manu could have drove to the hole, then I remember Manu's 39 years old, and maybe that just wasn't possible anymore. Then you also have Ibaka holding LaMarcus Aldridge down low. You have the woman fan for the Spurs grabbing Steven Adams and pulling him out of the play. Just crazy sequence, Glenn.
Yeah, no. And you know what? And honestly, I don't know. I feel like that was probably Ginobili kicking
and
it out to Patty Mills for the he had an open shot at least. I mean, you got to give him
Steven
that
Adams.
Like, he
had an incredible closeout.
Right, but
Steven Adams had an incredible
closeout. It was a mess. And then everybody's on the ground fighting for the ball, and then finally the clock ends. But no, I mean, I don't know. You always hear, let them play it out, especially in the playoffs, especially at the end of games. Like, we always talk about refs need to swallow their whistles. Well, when they finally do, I mean, is this what happens? Do we have to? Where's the line? I guess.
Well, the refs are never gonna win in any situation,
right.
But I thought it evened itself out. I thought both clubs had their fair share of penalties. It's not like the Spurs didn't get the ball and the Thunder shot free throws. The Spurs got a steal, had a 3-on-1 fast break,
yep.
A wide-open 3-point shot at the end, chance at a rebound and a putback. I don't think there's any reason to argue. People are saying they could have had an out-of-bounds play. They could have called a timeout. They had a timeout. They could have drawn up a play. They didn't, because they weren't going to get a better shot than a 3-on-1 fast break. So I definitely think it was the final score is how it should have ended, and really the Spurs had no business even being in that game. Thunder dominated them in that game. So
they weren't making really anything all night, and Oklahoma City they were prepared. They needed to win this game to get that split, and that's what they did.
Yeah, most definitely. So, well, that's pretty much all I really want to talk about. I mean, we could talk a little bit about the Warriors not having Steph Curry, but we can do that in our picks here, maybe upcoming. So, you want to go ahead and get to our picks?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, our first pick is going to be the Nationals at the Cubs on Friday. We have Max Scherzer versus John Lackey. Both 3-1, over 3.5 ERAs. both playing really well, first in their divisions. Cubs, of course, best record in baseball at 20-6. I'm going to have to go Cubs here. I think that they have a stronger offense. I like the Max Scherzer matchup better than the John Lackey matchup, but I think that the Cubs are going to provide a little more offense being at Wrigley and a daytime game. So,
give me the Cubs. Yeah, I got to agree with you there. The Cubs appear to be every bit as advertised. And, I mean, the Nationals are playing up to their potential, but, yeah, no, give me Cubs.
All right. So we both got Cubs. Then we have a fight on Saturday night, UFC. Alistair Overeem versus Andrei Arlovski is the main event. It's on Fox Sports 1. It's actually on Sunday, not Saturday, excuse me. So it's pretty much an all-day thing. I think it starts at 11, run till about 4 o'clock, so... we're going to pick that main event, Overeem versus Arlovski. I'm going to go Alistair Overeem by second-round TKO, and he earns himself a title shot with the victory.
Well, I'm going to disagree there. Going to have to go Arlovski by a third-round TKO.
All right. So I'm going Overeem. You're going Arlovski.
So, yep.
We'll see. A pretty big matchup, two heavyweights. So, then our last two picks here, a couple NBA playoff games. We have game two of Heat-Raptors tomorrow night. Raptors actually somehow forced the game one to go to overtime from Kyle Lowry, who had a half-court shot, who has just been absolutely dreadful in these playoffs. But the Heat, of course,
he's working on it though. He's staying after it. He's working on his shot. He's got it.
Yeah, he's working on it. He needs to figure something out quickly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think the Heat have a good shot of finishing this one pretty early. But I think the Raptors get one game in this series, and I think that game is tomorrow night in Toronto. I don't think they get one in Miami, and then when they come back to Toronto, it's going to be over. So give me the Raptors tomorrow night in a pretty close game.
You know what? I was going to pick Toronto, but I changed my mind because I am a full believer in the corpse of Dwayne Wade now. He's he had 7 points in overtime the other night. And he took on Purple Shirt Man. I think he's got a fire. I mean, it's only going to take him to the Eastern Conference Finals, but he's gonna take another one.
No, they're going all the way to the finals. My my preseason pick, Thunder Heat, still alive, still going. Got them.
All right.
So our other pick here. Game three, probably the best series in the round two. Definitely the best series in round two. Spurs at Thunder, tied at one, back in OKC, just where the Thunder wanted them to be. No, I'm going to have to go Thunder here. I think the Thunder put some real pressure on the Spurs Friday night and put them in a hole that a lot of people probably didn't see coming. But I've been saying all year I think Thunder a bad matchup for the Spurs, so... I think they're going to prove it here and go up 2-1.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma City's. Yeah, they're back at home. They've got some momentum back, and I think we're going to see just a classic KD make it rain game.
Yeah, I think heel Westbrook and heel KD have actually given this team a little bit more of an edge. So, like to see that keep going. So, yeah,
definitely.
Do you have an upset pick?
No, I don't.
Well, I did Blazers at the Warriors on Saturday night. I think the Blazers get one game, and I think it's in Portland on a Saturday night. I think Dame Lillard has a huge game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on an upset. You got a
hot
take?
I got a hot take? I do. Steph Curry plays in game four.
Oh, wow. I don't know about that.